Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. In our podcast, week after week, we learn the small changes we can make that make a huge, major difference in our lives and the lives of those around us. In the studio today with me is Mim Hirsch. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much, Larry. It's wonderful to be here.
It's so good to have you. I'm so excited to interview you because you've had so much experience in leadership as a woman of God. And you know, you've been associate pastor for 5.5 years along with your husband, Dove Westgate Church. You serve today currently in the USA Dove Apostolic Council, overseeing churches throughout our nation. I know you give personal oversight to a church in Florida right now.
I do.
That's awesome. And you're a speaker. I mean, you speak women's groups, you speak at churches, and you're doing more and more of that. People are asking for Mim Hirsch because of what you carry. You're a writer. You know, you've got an article we're going to talk about a bit later, and on. Of course, you mentor leaders, and you mentor leaders' wives and all that. So let's just jump right in.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am.
All right. So let's talk about, you grew up in, where did you grow up? Which state or which part of the world?
I grew up locally here, and I grew up in a large family.
How large?
11 children.
11.
And I'm the youngest of 11.
Really?
Yes. And grew up in Goodville. Well, I was born in Goodville and then grew up in Leola.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you were young, did you ever think that you'd be doing the kind of things you're doing today?
Not in a million years.
Really?
Not in a million years, no.
Wow.
Although it's kind of a funny story. When I was maybe 4 or 5, I used to try to counsel my older brothers and sisters. So maybe that was a prophetic thing. Who knows?
Who knows? So talk to us about your walk of faith.
Well, I always had a tender heart for the Lord.
Sure.
And I accepted the Lord when I was 14, but I had probably accepted the Lord into my heart about 100 times before I made it public.
Right, right.
Because growing up in a conservative church, we were Mennonite, and so when I made a confession, that meant that then I joined the church,
right.
I got baptized, started wearing a veiling and all of that. So it was a big decision that I was a little bit hesitant to jump into. But yes, always had a tender heart for the Lord.
Sure, sure. Now, in those early days, like when you're teenagers, for example, did you have any leadership roles?
Yeah, well, so because we went to a small Mennonite church in Lancaster City, and I was involved in leadership in our youth group.
Okay.
I got to plan events and special things like that. But I really didn't have any kind of a desire or like setting myself in a trajectory track of leadership.
Okay. When did that start? Like, when did you first realize that, maybe I'm called to some kind of leadership? Was it recently or was it a long time ago?
Well, when we started going to Westgate, we had been there quite a few years, and I really had a desire to get more involved in women's ministry.
Right.
And I think that I always had this hint of leadership within me, but I just felt like even from a very young age, because I'm kind of backtracking here a little bit, but growing up in a large family and being the youngest,
right.
I always had this inner voice that just would want to tell me that other people can do it better. Because I always had somebody older, more experienced, you know, wiser, faster, you know, of my siblings that were ahead of me. So I had this little core value, unhealthy belief about myself.
Right.
So that was kind of in the back of my mind. But then, as I was saying, wanted to get more involved in women's ministry. So I led a mom's group for a number of years and really enjoyed doing that. And then we were asked to become elders at the church, which I labored over that decision, struggled a bit. But because I married such a strong leader, it sort of just automatically put me in leadership roles. And then I feel like we fed off of each other, and I learned to become a much stronger and more capable leader because of who I married.
Right, right.
And I feel like the journey that I went on of inner healing and understanding things about myself and getting rid of things of, you know, ungodly beliefs that I had about myself helped me to overcome and to be able to step out into leadership roles.
So as you look back in those early days when you realized you're called to be a leader along with your husband, obviously, you look back on those days, are there things back then you realize, I wish you would have learned earlier, I wish you would have done differently? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, I think that it would have been awesome if I would have understood years ago the calling that God had on our lives and not fought it.
Okay.
I fought it. And even
you felt like other people would do a better job.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Lord, why would you call us? I mean, we had some issues. You know, we had struggles in our marriage and had things that we needed to overcome. And so it was always like, well, God, why would you ask us to be in this role? And so I think that if I would have embraced the calling from a younger age, it would have been really, really good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was part of my journey. That was part of getting healed and free.
Yeah.
And I feel like God had Daryl and I on a fast track for leadership from a very young age. Mm-hmm. And some of the difficulties that we went through were hard at the time. And I would look around and see all of our friends just living their best lives, you know, not struggling like we were. And it was difficult at the time. But now I can look back and see that he was taking us through this purification process and developing us. And we wouldn't be who we are today had we not gone through some of those difficulties in our early years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for all of our guests who are listening on the podcast today, sometime back I interviewed your husband, Daryl.
Yeah.
And he talks a lot about the whole process that he went through and you went through together. Come from the business world,
yes.
Which, you know, he was a real estate company, had a real estate company on and on, and then had a sovereign call from God to be involved as a pastor in the church, which seemed crazy. And yet it was just God and how God led him. And I mean, obviously, again, I just want to fill everybody in from all over the world that Daryl Mimley led Dove Westgate Church. And really, that was like the first Dove Church that Laverne and I were involved in leading back with 25 people in 1980.
Right.
And then we decentralized, become a family of churches. And then Dwayne and Raina Britton led for a while.
Yes.
And then Daryl worked full time, you know, with Dwayne. And then you, how many years now are you guys in leadership at Dove Westgate?
So, as a lead pastor, Daryl has been there 12 years.
Wow.
And then he was also on staff as an executive pastor 5 years prior to that.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think that was some of the obstacle that I needed to get over, because we're taking over a church that you guys started and then, you know, went on to Dwayne and Raina and just such founders in the faith, and I'm like, who are we to follow these people? So that was actually a big hurdle.
Of course,
we
felt like that too, you know, way back in the day, you know, like, who are we, you know?
Right.
I'm so glad you're sharing that, because there's many people feeling that. Some people call it the imposter syndrome. You know, I feel like I'm an imposter. I'm not really, you don't really know me. If you knew me, you wouldn't want me to be your leader, you know?
Right.
But you guys have done such an amazing job. And also you're now involved in pastoring pastors and helping others do the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you were on staff for 5.5 years.
Yes.
You were an associate pastor at Westgate Church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that work? Daryl, your husband.
Yeah.
Is your husband, obviously, but he's also your boss.
Right.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So that led for some interesting times. I felt like I wore a lot of different hats, okay? So sometimes I wore the pastor's wife hat, sometimes I wore an elder hat, and sometimes I wore the associate pastor, you know, slash employee hat.
Right.
And so different times when I would go into meetings, I would remind myself, okay, which hat are you wearing in this meeting? And during staff meetings,
really good.
I felt like I needed to wear the employee hat.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times that in a staff meeting, I really wanted to show and model what it's like to be a good employee.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you may not agree with everything that's being discussed, you're a team player, you go ahead with it, you honor the leader. And, you know, then there were times maybe at home, I would have discussions with Daryl, just the two of us, and say, you know, I feel a little differently about this or that. And so there were definitely times where I needed to use a lot of discernment to know what hat to wear. And so Daryl and I have always, like, I know a lot of people say, you know, isn't it hard to be working together? And honestly, in ministry, I felt like we flowed better than at home. Sometimes we would butt heads more about things. But in ministry, we had our very distinct lanes that we were operating in. And so we just had so much unity together. And but yeah, there were definitely times there that I would be struggling a little bit to know when to speak and when not to speak. I had to use a lot of discernment. But I really felt like, you know, when you're in a position of leadership, you have a big target on your back, and there's a lot of criticism that comes your way. There's a lot of junk that you deal with. And I really felt like, and I still do, that I need to be a real support to him. And it's not that I always agree with everything, and we have, you know, challenging discussions, but I want to be the one that is encouraging him. When I see all around him that there are things coming against him, I don't want to be his critique and criticizer, or whatever the proper word is to say. I want to be his helpmeet. You know, yes, we're in a partnership together, but I want to build him up. I want him to know that I see the calling of God on his life and champion him. And yeah, so we obviously have things that we have to work through here and there, but all in all, it has just been a really beautiful experience for us.
That's beautiful. Now, as you look back to the, you know, early days of leadership, are there some things you wish you would have done different? Or you feel like, no, we did it all right?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think that, like I had said earlier, just about, you know, being sure of the calling, knowing who God has called you to be.
That's good.
And being confident in that, you know, develop your gifts. Don't try to be what somebody else is.
Right.
Don't look at another church and say, oh, wow, they're doing this. We really need to be doing that.
That's good.
You know, just be confident in what God has called you to do as a ministry, as an individual. Yeah, there were mistakes.
Mistakes? Really?
I think I'm so much more in tune now with listening to gut feelings and the whispering of the Holy Spirit.
So good.
When everything in my mind wants to just say, oh, you know, just smooth it over and say, you're imagining things or it's okay. But to go with that whisper of the Holy Spirit and act on it and not sit on it and be vocal and share who you need to share with about, you know, certain things. And again, just I think early in leadership, I felt a real strong pull to be something, to be someone, to make things happen. And it was out of a fleshly response of performance. Uh-huh. And, you know, I thought that I had to make things happen. Like if I see a certain program falling apart, I have to jump in and be the volunteer or make sure that things aren't going to fall apart. And now I'm like, well, if we don't have volunteers for a certain thing, maybe that's God closing the door. And I'm so much more okay with just being and sitting at Jesus' feet and spending time with him. I so much want to spend time with him. And I don't care as much about how maybe our leadership looks to other people. Mm-hmm. That's not important to me anymore. I just want to be in the sweet spot of being exactly where God has called me to be and not perform, not do things out of the flesh, not to be somebody's savior, so to speak, or their rescuer, but to just be who God has called me to be.
So good. And the amazing blessing of that, ma'am, is as you've learned that and walked in that, and you and Daryl have, you know, led together in so many ways, is that you have an amazing staff. I mean, they're amazing.
Yes.
They're a young staff. I mean,
yes.
It's amazing when I see what God's done at Dove Westgate Church. And also amazing team of elders and of all generations. And you have younger elders, and which is just a a fantastic blessing.
It is a fantastic blessing.
Yeah, it really is. So let's talk about, I mean, you do a lot outside of the Westgate Church. Let's talk about that. You're a writer, you wrote Journey Toward Joy. Talk to us about that.
Well, that was basically an article that I wrote that has a bit of my testimony and also some of my healing journey and how I help other people to walk through emotions and deal with emotional health and stuff like that. Because I really, really have a passion for leaders, especially to be healthy emotionally. So I really felt maybe a couple of years ago, the Lord started to just birth in my heart that, you know, I had been so dedicated to Dove Westgate for 20 plus years.
Right.
My focus was solely on Dove Westgate. And maybe 2 years ago-ish, I really felt the Lord leading me to start branching out beyond the walls of Dove Westgate Church and to make room in my schedule for a broader scope.
Beautiful.
And so I have really enjoyed doing, I have a passion for women's ministry. And I've come from being the one that makes it all happen to the one that imparts and teaches.
Beautiful.
And I love being on this side of it. So I like to do retreats. I like to speak at moms groups. And I really feel a passion for writing as well. And
when's your first book coming out?
I'm working on it, Larry.
You need to. You have so much inside you.
I'm working on a devotional book,
That's awesome.
I can't wait to have that out.
And by the way, just for everyone listening, check out the show notes, all the information about Mim. If you want to get a hold of her, like to have her come and speak at your women's group or at your church or whatever, she'd be happy to do that.
Yes.
It's on there. And also, The Journey Towards Joy is actually on the show notes. It's free. Make sure you pick that up. So continue, please.
Yeah, I'm really loving being in this spot right now. So I have to admit that I'm 60, right? And I know that God calls
That's
you to
still
do,
very young from my perspective.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. So I know that God has you in different seasons, in different seasons of your life. He has you at different places. And I'm in this season right now where I feel like I have to be super intentional to do what is in the sweet spot that God has for me. And I don't want to be doing things outside of that. And so I love going to women's groups where I can really impart into them, share the joys and the sorrows that I have gone through in life and minister to them, minister in the mission and the message, the story that God has given me.
Beautiful.
And again, I'm not trying to be anybody else. I'm just ministering out of the mission that God has placed within my heart and my story. And I feel that is what attracts people to me, is that I'm real and that I'm vulnerable. And you know what? Vulnerability isn't a real wonderful place to be in sometimes. But when you share out of vulnerability, it touches a place in people's hearts that just speaking from head knowledge is not going to touch.
Exactly, exactly. Well, ma'am, talk about, you know, you are on the USA Apostolic Council, and you're now overseeing a pastor. And, you know, that's a whole new realm for you, and
it's doing
so well. And I hear so many good reports about you, of course, and Daryl, and the way you minister throughout the body of Christ and also locally. Talk about that. What's that look like?
Yeah, it's a whole new world.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, you know, Dove is all about building through relationships.
That's right.
And so if I look at it from that lens and not, oh, you're an overseer of a church.
Right.
You know, if I look at it through the lens of I'm building relationships with the pastor and encouraging her and inspiring her, challenging her, praying with her, that is, it's a beautiful thing. And of course, I have this, you know, dear pastor from Florida that I'm overseeing, and we have a wonderful relationship.
Beautiful.
So yeah, it's a really a new season. It's good. I'm still getting my feet wet with it all, but I'm just like, okay, Lord, when you open a door, I'm going to walk through it.
Beautiful.
And even though I may not always understand why that door is opening, I just am going to walk through it.
It's step by step, isn't it?
Yeah.
As we're obedient to the Lord, and one step, He'll take us another step.
Yes.
You know, it's like the parable of the talents, you know?
Yes.
If we're obedient, we get more and we get more.
Yes.
Now, you're a mentor to various women of God and various leaders. Have you had mentors in your life? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I didn't have a lot growing up. I didn't even really see the need for it or know that I needed that.
Sure.
But I have, for the last, I don't know how many years, 10, 15 years, the most amazing spiritual mom in my life, which is your wife, Laverne.
She's amazing.
I don't know what I would have done without her. Aww. Honestly, you know, when we go through the ups and downs of leadership, and I don't know what I would have done if I wouldn't have had Laverne to cry on her shoulder and have her minister to me. That, I think, is so key in being a healthy leader, is having a spiritual parent, a mentor, a coach, somebody that can help you through the process.
Yeah. Well, she obviously loves you and loves serving with you and helping you in any way she can. And she is an amazing mentor.
She is. She's the best.
So, yeah, she really, I think that, but I'm very biased, you know.
Take it from me. She's the best.
All right. I take it. I'll make sure she knows that.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk a bit more just about leadership in general. A younger leader comes to you and says, you know, let's say a young woman comes to you, mm-hmm. says, I'm called to leadership. You know, I know I am, but I don't know the first thing I should do. Where do I start? What would you tell her?
I would say to develop the leadership gift that is within you, however that may look. Read books, go to classes, and just submit it before the Lord. And I'm a firm believer that the Lord will open doors for you. You know, the verse, I think it's in Proverbs about that your gifts will make room for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer in that. Mm-hmm. If you are effective and if you are using what God has given you, He will make room for more. And, you know, share it with a few people. Have some people pray for you. But I feel that it's often a difficult thing when you sense leadership, but you don't want to be pushing doors open.
Right.
And Daryl and I, we went through years of that. You know, we had this feeling, this sense that God was calling us into leading Dove Westgate Church.
Right.
But we had to sit on that for a while. And it took a lot of years before that all fell into place. And so pray, process, do all you can to develop the leadership gifting within you, and then allow, you know, sit back and allow God to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And it's easy sometimes to want to, I mean, yeah, networking is good and all that stuff is good, but allow God to open the doors for you. And His timing is always better than our timing.
That's so good. You know, things change. Obviously, we live in different days today than I know when I pastored many years ago. What are some changes you see today in being a leader today and maybe you would have seen in the past? You know, what kind of things do you see leaders face today that might be more intense or might be different or might be harder? I don't know.
Yeah.
You tell me, than it was in the past.
Yeah, we've had a lot of difficult things to deal with in the past few years with COVID and, just our society changing and... So I think it's so important to just be true to who you are.
Good.
Be true to the Word. You know, never compromise the Word. And be true to who you are and what God has called you to do. And not be swayed by what the world is doing, even other churches are doing, and how they're embracing certain things in our culture. We have to be true to the Word. We have to be true to our core values and what God has called us as a church to do and us as leaders to do. But I see leaders that are so busy, and that concerns me. That makes me sound like an old woman right there.
But you're leaders, only 60. You're young.
Young leaders are so busy, and I really, really want to caution them to make sure that you don't sacrifice your family and things that are really important in this world that you need to keep above ministry and to really value your time with God and protect that, really protect that.
Yeah. Well, ma'am, anything else? Well, we're almost out of time. This has been so much fun. Anything else you want to share with leaders, potential leaders who are listening from many nations of the world?
Yeah. I want to just share a little bit of my journey of how I got on board with being a leader.
Be great, please.
So I, again, was wrestling a lot with this decision when we felt God was calling us to be pastoring at Westgate. And Daryl and I had gone away for a couple of days to pray and to seek God. And I stumbled upon John 21, where Jesus is talking to Peter and asking him, you know, Peter, do you love me? Mm-hmm. And those verses just hit me between the eyes. Like, I felt Jesus asking me that. And I said, Jesus, yes, you know I love you. You know I love you. So and his reply to me that I sensed in my spirit was this, Mim, I'm not asking you to be anything but yourself. Just feed my sheep. Mm. That's all I'm asking you to do is feed my sheep. And that was life-changing for me. And it totally just shifted my mind to, I'm serving God. I'm not serving people. Right. I'm not trying to create a platform or create an awesome leadership or church. All I'm doing is answering the call to feed his sheep. And so if anybody out there is listening and needs to hear that, I just Beautiful. Just really encourage you to answer the call that God has on your life.
Thank you. This is awesome. Anything else you want to say? This is your last chance for this podcast.
Listen, if you're an aspiring leader, listen to this podcast because I have learned so much from listening to this and other podcasts. Mm. It really helps you to grow as a leader to hear other people's stories and their challenges.
I often say there's always the story behind the story. Uh-huh. And you share some of the stories behind the story today. Mm-hmm. And you know, people look at your husband, Daryl, and yourself, and you work together and leading WSCA Church, working with churches throughout the nation. Think, you know, how does that happen? Well, there's these stories behind the stories that God uses step by step to prepare us for the future. Mm-hmm. So, Mim, thank you so much. We're honored to have you as our pastors and our local chairs. It's such a blessing for us. And I know it is also for Duane and Raina Britton, who served there for many years. It's been a blessing that you can have leaders in churches who stay and continue to become a vital part of the church, even as the transition happens from generation to generation.
That's right.
And that's happened at our church, and I think it should happen at many more churches in the future.
It's been wonderful. It's wonderful to have your support.
Wow, we love it. Mim Hurst, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
And for everyone listening to the podcast today, check out the show notes. Find out more about Mim. And if you'd like her to come and minister at a women's group, at a local church, or in some way, she'd love to do that. And her information is all on the show notes today. And obviously, check out Journey Towards God. And so here we learn these small things that make a major difference in our lives as we apply them and as the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. And so we're looking forward to seeing you back here next week on the Larry Crider Leadership Podcast. Thank you. God bless you. Have an amazing week in the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.